Our scripture lesson for this Sunday morning is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Please take note of that verse one more time. Verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Remember that worship song we just shared a few moments ago? "My chains are gone." And the angel said unto him, "Get thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was that which was done by the angel, because he thought it was a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went forth and passed on through the street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am assured that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she did not open the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter was standing before the gate. And they said unto her, "You are mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. I can't tell you exactly when. Several weeks ago, we were intensely gathered together praying about a number of things. Perhaps it was on a Wednesday morning, maybe a Sunday morning, I'm not sure. However, as we were together praying, the Lord began to impress upon me how often the same prayers are offered in gathering after gathering after gathering. And there are occasions when I sense something of discouragement in the voices of those who are pleading with the Lord about their situation. It was at that time that the Lord spoke to me and said to me, "It is time for you once again to bring the message that I gave you years ago about principles of perpetual prayer." Principles of perpetual prayer. Now, I want to make a suggestion to you. I don't often do this, but today I feel it's important that some of you have your Bibles with you, some of you don't, but in front of you in the bench there, the rack, there is paper. And I would like to suggest that either in those blank pages in your Bible or on a sheet in front of you, that you jot down at least the addresses of these four scriptures that I want to give you this morning. Before I share those with you, I want to show you, I know you can't read it because it's too small a print, but the inside pages of my Bibles, of which there are of course many, are filled with scriptures that the Lord over the years has given to me that have a very, very special significance. And I write the address down of the scripture, but I put just a couple key words underneath so I know what that scripture is about. And when I'm looking for it, it makes it so much easier. And these are, if you will, the personal collection of powerful scriptures that the Lord has given to me over the years. And so in this particular Bible that I'm carrying with me today, I had written these down all at various and different times. And it was easy for me during the week to go back and gather those up and write them on a piece of paper and bring it today. Well, Satan had other ideas. Because I did the studying in one Bible and I planned to use this Bible for the message, the sheet with the scriptures is at home, resting carefully on the family room couch. Well, Satan does not have the last word. However, we're going to have a test of the emergency broadcasting system this morning and see if the Holy Spirit will bring back to me the addresses of the scriptures I want to share with you. So here we go. The first of them, and this is not new to those of you who've been with me for a number of years, the first of them is in Jeremiah chapter 33. Over the years, I have reminded you on occasion, this is the Lord God's telephone number. This is the Lord's emergency number. We are all familiar with 911, but so few are familiar with the emergency number for the throne of God. And that number is 333. 333. Jeremiah 33:3. And this is what it says. "Call upon me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now, in that one single verse are three principles of powerful personal prayer. The first is the invitation, call upon me. Now, we can call upon a lot of people for a great amount of help and expertise and assistance. Unfortunately, many of us, kind of at the last moment, maybe remember to call upon the Lord. That's priority. That's number one. Call upon me. And then the second principle that he puts in here is, I will answer you. I know there are many people that I've spoken with over the years that pray, but they don't really recognize or maybe even understand or believe that the Lord answers prayer. That's not our idea. We didn't come to this conclusion because of experience. We come to this conclusion because the Lord said so. The Lord said, "You call upon me, and I will answer you." And then the third part is so utterly amazing. He says, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isn't that a powerful promise? That's a powerful word to begin any conversation on the subject of prayer. Call upon the Lord. Dial up his number, 333. Call upon the Lord. He said, I will answer you. But even way beyond that, as he said, I will reveal, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, the second scripture is also dynamite, and it is found in the fourth chapter of the little letter to James in the New Testament. James chapter 4. And we will begin with verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars, fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your hosts that war in your members? That's interesting. He's saying some of the battles and warfares that we face are internal. They're within ourselves. That's the battleground. That's the unseen battleground of spiritual warfare. We can see quite often the battle that's raging in the culture, in the nation, in the world, but we often don't recognize the battle that is going on within ourselves. And then in verse 2, he said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, but cannot obtain. You fight and war. And then this principle, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. That's a powerful, powerful principle of prayer. The Lord is saying to us, many things about which you're concerned, many of the battles that you're going through, you're struggling on your own, or you have a group of people together who are fighting a cause, but you're not calling upon me. And our culture today, this nation, the warfare that is surrounding the culture of this nation today is a powerful example of that. We can call committees. We can send representatives to every border and every nation in the world. We can assemble work committees and study groups and every kind of strategy that the human person can imagine, but we don't ask the Lord. When have you ever watched a news conference and have seen whoever's conducting the news conference say, before we talk about this, let's pray. Let us first pray. Now, at the end of the news conference, they will often say, especially if it's a big tragedy, running over humans or shooting numerous people, be sure to pray for these people. Well, why don't we do that right now? If you're asking us to pray, why don't we do that right now? We don't respond that way. So often I have had people give me a list of concerns that they have, and I've shared some concerns with them. And often without thinking, that person will say to me, or perhaps I'll say to that person, well, I'll pray about that. But do we? Do they? I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. Maybe it gets buried. Maybe we forget. And I remember John Gronke, who was the chairman of the Ohio Conference on the Holy Spirit. I don't care what hour, the day or night, or what city you were in or he was in, if you were having a conversation and anything of any substance came up, he didn't say, Pastor Ward, I'll pray about that. He'd say, we're going to pray right now. It could be in the supermarket, the gas station, didn't matter. We're going to pray right now about that. But James said, you don't receive because you don't ask. And if you do ask, you often ask from your own motives, your own purposes. He says here, your own lusts or passions. We are to ask. We are to ask in the name of the Lord, and we are to pray according to his will. Now, the third scripture that I want to share with you, oh, thank you, Lord. This is working. Is in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Now, this one's a little obscure. And I believe the reason the Lord brought these four scriptures together for me several weeks ago to put them into this message is because they are not scriptures that we often quote and associate with the subject of prayer. I don't want to say they're obscure. They're in the scriptures, so they're not obscure. But they aren't the most frequently quoted scriptures about prayer, and I think this one will surprise you. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to turn down to verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. This is what it says. And turn you not aside, for when should ye go after vain things? Now there's a very interesting thought, chasing after vain, empty things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Vain means empty, or it could mean prideful, filled with pride, but empty of power. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. That's amazing. Moreover, and now here's the secret. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, many years ago, when Jonathan only had two children, and we were at his church in Minneapolis for the baptism of, I believe, the second child, we were attending this congregation, a rather large congregation, by the way, and they did something I have never, ever seen happen in a local congregation. Every Sunday morning was printed in their bulletin, their church bulletin, the name of every missionary that that congregation supported around the world. And there were about 20 of them. I don't know the exact number, but there were more than 15. And each Sunday morning, as a part of the service, someone from their missions committee would get up in the service and lead the congregation in prayer individually, person by person by person, on that mission field. And on the list at the top of that missionary prayer list was written this verse from 1 Samuel chapter 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I'd never heard that scripture before. That just sent shockwaves through my spirit. Is it possible that if I am failing to pray for people, that I'm sinning against the Lord? That could provide about an hour's worth of dialogue conversation all by itself. I never heard that before, but when I spoke with the pastor following the service, I said, where did you find that scripture? Oh, he said, it's there in the Bible, first grade. I said, I know that, but how did you get led to it? Well, he said, we just had a congregation that prayed and talked about a lot of stuff, but we didn't take seriously the prayers for the missionaries. Without our prayers and the prayers of the Lord's people, they're vulnerable. They're going to be destroyed. But I've kept that scripture in my heart and in the cover of my Bible all these years. And I think about that so often. Well, my prayer list is getting longer and longer each month. Some drop off, but it keeps getting adds on. And I think, you know, I think what I'll do is I'll take this list and divide it into three or four parts, and I'll just do part of it each. No. Then the scripture comes to me. Forbid it, Lord, that I would sin, not against those people, not against the people you're praying for, but against the Lord. Why? Because he has commanded us to pray. Not only has he commanded us to pray, he's promised that if we do pray, he will hear us, he will answer us, and he will even show us things that we don't know anything about. So please lay hold of that scripture. Now the final scripture is in the Gospel of Luke. And those of you who have been with me for a number of years, you've heard us refer to this scripture on occasion. Luke chapter 11, it's over here. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now he said that once, those three areas. But because of its importance, and I think because of its absolute amazing content, he repeats in verse 10, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. But maybe twice isn't enough. Maybe we still aren't convinced. So for the third time in this section, Jesus repeats with an illustration of what the principle is. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? And if he shall ask for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? Now here's the principle. Verse 13, if you then, being evil, being a sinner, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, let's break this down just a little bit. First of all, he says, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock. Now, you don't have a Greek Bible in front of you, but those verbs, ask, seek, knock, are translated in English in the kind of current present tense. But the actual verb construction of the Greek is what is known as a present participle. A present participle is an action that has its beginning back where somewhere. It is continuing into the present, and it goes on into the future. So the grammatical construction of a present participle is to cover all three venues, past, present, and future. So literally, what this text is saying, I say to you, if you are seeking, ing, if you are asking, ing, and if you are knocking, ing. Why? Because there are prayers that require more than just a quick, fast SOS. They require some intensive, deep, and continuing, abiding repetition. Not because the Lord is hard of hearing, not because he's too busy to answer our call, but we are the ones who need to intensify in our own spirit and understanding that prayer is not pushing buttons in a system. It is a relationship. It is a relationship based upon promises, power, answers, and fulfillment. But often we have to make an investment of effort, time, and energy in those prayers. And also there is the timing, the appropriate time. We don't always know the circumstances or the time. I can't tell you why every day for 9 months I prayed for Jeremy to get a job. I quoted this scripture. I quoted Revelation 3, you will open a door of opportunity. You'll shut doors and open doors. I went through that every day for 9 months. I was getting just a little bit iffy. But then all of a sudden, We get this phone call. Dad, I got a phone call this morning. I've got 3 job offers from 3 different universities. I don't know which one to pick. Boy, that's the Lord. There are the footprints of the Holy Spirit. It was His time. It was His answer. It was His solution to Jeremy's and his family's and so forth challenge. Now, I'm not going to have you look it up again because we read it, but it's a kind of a conclusion. Also, it was the beginning, and now it's going to be the conclusion. I picked this scripture as the scripture lesson for today for a very serious reason. Peter was put in prison out of spite, revenge, and control. The Jews were losing influence with the people, and Herod and his court were also very embarrassed by all of the preaching and the success that the young apostles in the early church were having. So first of all, he killed James, the brother of John, John and James, the twins. And he saw that pleased the Jews, that gained favor. That made Herod the powerful one. It made Herod the popular one. So he thought, if that got the people's attention and my approval ratings are now going up, all I have to do is get the kingpin. Just get the head guy. So he rounds up Peter and throws him into prison and figures, I got him. And at the appropriate time, I'm going to bring him out and deal with him. But that's what happens when human, puny minds try to strategize eternal plans and purposes of Almighty God. Poor little Herod, he didn't have a clue what the plans and purposes were for Simon Peter. But the father knew, and at the appropriate time, he just took charge. And so amazing, he was guarded by 4 squadrons of soldiers, and he was guarded in the prison in chains. I mean, you want to make it impossible. Impossible. But nothing is impossible for Almighty God. And so during the night, they're sleeping. And I know Peter's asleep. That's why the angel had to knock him up alongside of the shoulder or whatever. He was asleep. The angel appears. The door is open. Peter and the angel walk out through the locked, closed gates, which it said opened on their own accord. Now that's powerful. That's great. You say, well, that's a wonderful, we could end the story there. No. That's not the story. The story is that Peter wants to share the good news. He wants to let them know, I'm out, I'm free. And so he goes to the place where they're gathered praying. Now, I read you that key verse that when they learned that Peter was in prison, they prayed without ceasing. That's an ing word, right? Yeah, they didn't just have a quick prayer, a Hail Mary. They prayed without ceasing. In fact, they were praying when Peter was knocking at the door. So rather than one of them get up and interrupt their prayers and answer the door, they sent Rhoda, the maid or whatever. And she got so excited because she recognized Peter's voice that she ran back and told him, Peter is standing at the door. What was their response? They said, you're crazy. Just like when they came and said, Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is risen. They said, you folks are crazy. Why is it that when Father God works a mighty, mighty miracle, even believers don't believe? They don't get it. They come up with excuses or answers or what explanations that are way off the wall. Now, I want you to see, in the light of those 4 scriptures that I shared with you, the heart of the principle of powerful prayer. 4 scriptures. There should never be a time in your life or mine, if you have these scriptures, that you pray and you question or doubt whether Father God is hearing or listening. Now, you don't know the circumstances. You don't know how He's going to work all this stuff out. He alone knows it. But let us never find ourselves in the position of a church that's been praying for hour after hour after hour, and when Father God answers the prayer, we call the messenger crazy. But I'll tell you what I've heard. I've heard people pray for marriages to be healed. I've heard people pray for their finances to get straightened out. I've heard people pray for healing from cancer. And then when I listen to what they say, oh, they said they went into remission. Oh, a relative came and solved the financial problem and gave them a big gift. Or they may come up with some other weak, weird answer. Oh, it was a counselor who just talked to them. Or they just worked it out. Hello? You've been praying. A miracle has occurred, and you give credit to all these other entities. You know, in a sense, we're no different. In our humanness, we're no different than that church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 12. Now, please, please, take this message to heart. When you pray, pray believing, pray confessing. Pray with courage and standing strong. You don't know the day or the hour, but you know this today. Number one, Father God has heard your prayers. Number two, He has promised to answer you. And number three, He will choose the time, the place, and the venue, and the circumstances as to how He will handle the situation. Those are four principles to powerful, perpetual prayer in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Whew. Well, Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of the Lord. Thank you for being able to faithfully hear the declaration of Scripture, your Word. Now create in us on the basis of your word and the authority of your scripture, the faith to grasp hold, and stand strong, believing the promises that you have given. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the precious fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, if you wish prayer, prayer, that's what we've been talking about, prayer. For any situation whatsoever, Brother Lloyd will be up here, anoint you, lay hands upon you, and pray for you. Go in peace, with joy, serve the Lord, and enjoy that beautiful repast in the lower area.